We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. It's festive season. I don't know about you. I don't know how many presents are under your Christmas tree, but it really doesn't matter. This is not about Christmas presents. It is about Jesus. Amen? So let's, once again, good morning, church. Give me with an understanding who we are celebrating in this season. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Amen. Yes. You know, you're celebrating the King of Kings. If somebody's going to come here and shout and say, King Charles is passing through, some of you would get you hanging down the windows to just have a glimpse of his car, not his face. No, here we are having a glimpse of the one who seated on the throne and who reigns forever. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to talk to each other. And so if you are sitting next to the person who keeps on going out and coming in, move away from them because you're going to need them to talk to them. So sit next to somebody who is going to be there throughout the service. Amen. If you are sitting on your own, make sure you go and sit next to somebody right now because you need somebody to speak to. I'm not preaching on my own. So if you are sitting on your own like Aunt Patience, you find a space where you can join others. Like Rachel, you can join others. Rachel Bushiri. Okay. So, this morning we are starting a new series. And this series is called The King is Here. So I'd like to just start by thanking the leadership of the church for giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a learning place for me. And so I pray that the Lord will use me and that your ears will be open to hear and for all of us. And I just want to let you know that Pastor Moyo is not here. He's going to check the baby. You know, we gave birth a month ago, and he's going to check how the baby is doing. So that's where he is this morning. Amen. We pray that they will have a good time. So as we start, I want you to talk to the person next to you and tell them and ask them, what is your favorite Christmas tradition? What is your favorite Christmas tradition? So if you are sitting and what is your favorite? Wise man, you might need to talk to Auntie Feli because Auntie Feli is busy with your shirt. I'm talking about everybody. By the way, I've got the mic and I can see you all. So you better be talking to somebody because I'll call you out. Okay? So, talk to somebody. What is your favorite? And remember, be listening because I'll ask you what they said. Okay? What is your favorite Christmas tradition? It might be in your family. It might be a personal. What is it? I think, Mrs. Nzara, you are sitting to your husband, so you definitely no need to discuss. Tell us, what is your favorite Christmas tradition?
Being with my extended family.
All right, being with your extended family. So every Christmas you travel to Leicester?
Yes.
All right. Join them in Leicester, the 25th. I'll give you the address. Someone else who was told a very interesting Christmas tradition. Mary, what did she say? What did Mr. Moyo say to you?
Having people around.
What?
Chatting and, you know, talking and catching up. Okay.
Ife, what did Shinga say?
Being with family.
Being with family. I want something different now. Another tradition that's different from being with family? Yes, yes, Emanuela. You waved your hand. Food. Yeah. I joined your club. Food. So what did they say about food? They look forward to eating something different. Special. That comes only once in a year at Christmas. Good one. Anything else? Anyone else who was told something different? Yes, Mama Mourinho, tell us. Oh, Okay. Staying in a pajamas all day. Amazing. That's a good. So every Christmas. So even guests come, Mama, you'll be in your pajamas. Wow, I'm joining you this Christmas. That's resting proper and reflecting. Anything different? Anything different? Yeah. Tell us the Jones family. What is your Christmas tradition? Baking with your children. Wow, that's going to join the Queen Club, yeah? You're doing very well. The royal family, they bake so much. We hear so much about their baking during Christmas. That's good. I'll come for a cake. The Ryles. Oh, okay. The Ryles, tell us what's your Christmas tradition.
Going for a walk.
So yours is January to December is the same. Going for a walk. I thought on Christmas Day you do something different. You lie down in bed and not wake up. Are you in agreement, Mr. Ryles?
Sorry?
Yeah, are you in agreement? You do. Oh, God bless you. God bless you, man. That's why you survived that marriage to this point. Do as you are told. Rachel, what were you about to say?
In
Cynthia's family, they do a dance competition every Christmas. So on the 31st, Cynthia, you're going to come and demonstrate the dance that you're doing in your church, in your house this Christmas. You know, I think I'll come and just visit. Tell me the time that the time that you do the dance competition, and I'll come join you. That's good. And then, oh, my time is going. I'm not going to do this one now because these guys are not. Kenneth, what's my time? Are you telling me I'm left with 11 minutes? Oh, okay. You haven't put my time. Thank you. Let's do the next one. Tell the person sitting next to you, what is the coolest gift you have ever gave someone? Not you received. The coolest, you know, a nice one. You know, that you even yourself, as you're giving the person, you're like, wow, I did it. They would definitely be happy the whole of this year. Tell us. Auntie Nancy, tell us. What is the coolest gift you have ever given to someone?
A designer fragrance.
My gift list is still open. That one hasn't been met. Mama Chiunye, tell us, what is the coolest gift you have given to someone? But you felt it as we were buying, and you knew you were buying.
I didn't feel it. Like, sometimes if you're doing something out of love, you don't feel it.
Yes. Yes. But yeah. That's good. So he treasured it for some years.
Yeah.
That's good. Mrs. Mzulu, I think Mr. Russell told you something. What did he say? You don't buy presents. Marilyn buys. You don't know. Anyway, let me go. Otherwise, Justin is going to tell me, Mimo, your time is out. All right, let's start. So we've heard the ideas. I think as people were telling you about the gifts that they've given other people, you've got some ideas, hey? You have some ideas to go and get some gifts for someone. So Christmas is upon us once again. It's time for Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. The weather has changed itself. Last week, we couldn't even see Mrs. Bushiri because she was cuddled in a settee because of snow, because the weather has changed. Christmas music is on the air in every shop. You move in this shop, you move in that shop. It's all about Christmas. Christmas movies are on Netflix. Not only on Christmas Day, they are already there. Christmas trees are once again on sale, and some have been retrieved from the storage. Some had to remember where they packed them and put them away. Some of your neighbors have got their lights up already, including my household. The rest are on the doors, and children are on their best behavior, hoping for the best gift as a reward. Toys and gadgets are on sale again every minute. The world is gearing for Christmas. But not only the world, even the church. We are gearing for Christmas. As a church, our spiritual preparation and reflection over the birth of Jesus Christ comes in the season we are in, which is called Advent. Advent. Advent comes in two meanings. It comes with two meanings in Latin. Thank God the Spanish woman is not in here. If you are, you know, you can correct me. Advent comes with two meanings in Latin. To come, arrive or arrival, coming into a place, or the arrival of a notable person or event. The arrival of a notable person or event. So Advent, therefore, in the Christian calendar, marks the preparation, the period of preparation of this for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, our King, at Christmas. Needless to say that this is the time of the year we hear a lot about Jesus. We hear a lot about Jesus. However, there are a lot of different ways that people respond when they hear the description of Advent. There is a lot of different ways how people respond. The birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is received in different ways. The mention of this name evokes different emotions in different people's hearts. Some respond in anger. You speak the name of Jesus. You tell them Advent is about Jesus. You evoke some angry feelings within them. Some respond in vulgar, crude, profane ways. They start swearing at you when they hear the name of Jesus. Some respond in confusion and with questions. How about us as Christians? How do we respond when we hear that Advent is all about Jesus? How do we respond? We respond with joy, with rejoicing, with shouts of celebration. We just did it this morning. We worship because he is our King. We respond also in repentance and faith because we know he is our Savior. This is the time we proclaim and reflect and remember the birth of Jesus, the King. It's the time we are reminded of the proclamation people have been hearing for a long time. We are not the first ones. Christmas has been here for a long time. But if we only hear about Mary, about Joseph, about the manger, about the star, about the wise men, the shepherds, a king of that day, King Herod, who was really threatened by the newborn baby, the real king, Jesus Christ, we will have missed a part of the part of what Advent season is really all about. The coming into a place of Jesus, the King. Remember the meaning I gave you of Advent. Coming into the place. Coming into a place. Arrival of a notable somebody. So Advent is about the coming into a place of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I like this year's Advent series. Jesus, the King, is here. You know, sometimes when you are in my space all the time, you get so familiar that you forget that you're in my space. Husband and wife, after a few times, let's just warn you, the uni words, You start taking each other for granted because you are in each other's space for a long time. And you forget to respect one another. You forget that your role in that marriage because you're too familiar. And sometimes we need to be reminded that the King is here because we are taking Jesus for granted. We miss out on what it's all about. And we get, you know, mixed up and we get confused and we get into this hustle and bustle of Christmas like anybody else who doesn't know what Advent is all about. So this season we are being reminded the King is here. I especially like today's topic. So if you are one of those that write notes, today's topic is the King, Jesus the King is coming. Jesus the King is coming. I like that. I like that. You know, I grew up in the rural areas. So in the rural areas, you don't have buses passing every time, right? I don't know about your rural. I mean, some of you don't know what rural areas are. Not in England, but even in England, if you live in the village, I mean, you don't just see buses all the time, do you? You got to wait for it for more than an hour. So whenever you would be expecting a bus to come so you can travel, and you hear the sound of the bus coming, the excitement, the preparation, the running around, the getting close to the bus stop was always bringing an exciting thing to you. You wouldn't miss that time. You will know that it's such, even if you don't have a watch, you look at the sun and say, hey, when the sun gets there, the bus will be passing. And when the sun is getting to that level, you start expecting. Expectance. Are we carrying the same expectance? That Jesus, this is a moment, this is a time we are reminded, Jesus, the King, is coming. He's arriving. This reminds us that Advent is about God's great love for us. The commitment not to leave us abandoned, not to leave us in the darkness of political, of social, of personal oppressions. Jesus will never leave us there. So this season is the time when we are reminded of that. But it didn't start now. You know, 700 years before Jesus was born, people were hearing about Jesus coming through the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. So we are going to read from Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 1 to 7. Isaiah proclaimed that the world needs a savior. He needed the world needed a rescuer. The world needed a redeemer. So let's read together at the count of 1, 2, 3. Let's read. But there will be no gloom for he who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into the conduct the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people walked in darkness, as seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, he have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle turmoil, and with garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it. With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, would you speak this morning as your servants are listening? Lord, I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece and speak what you want to speak, how you want to speak. In the name of Jesus, submit to your leading and your authority. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So 700 years ago. So that means it has been nearly 3,000 years ago, Isaiah, when Isaiah was preaching and proclaiming that Jesus the King is coming. He was proclaiming and preaching that Jesus the King is coming. During those times, if you read from chapter 6, the commissioning and the calling of Isaiah, and you read chapter 7 and chapter 8, you realize just like now, times were desperate. People of God were in spiritual rebellion and corruption. And on a national level, multiple enemies were threatening to attack the nation of Judah. People were turning from God, turning to superstition and occult practices to try find some sense of safety and peace. It was therefore into that hopeless and godless atmosphere the Spirit of God led Isaiah to interject a prophetic word of hope. The King is coming. Hope was coming, and it was coming in the form of a baby that would be born in a tiny village named Bethlehem. It would be a while before that actual event would happen, but when you know that hope is coming, you can hang on because your perspective changes. Today we preach and proclaim the same message. This message remains relevant throughout the ages, and this season grants us the opportunity to proclaim that the King is coming. We preach and proclaim that Jesus is that Savior. Jesus is that Rescuer. Jesus is that Redeemer that Isaiah prophesied, and that He has come. So, church, the advent of Jesus into the world changes our perspective on everything. For you and me, it's not just a Christmas as usual. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of how ready am I to host Jesus in my life? How close am I? We need to not to move far from that understanding that our King is coming. You might be asking, why is it important to know that Jesus is coming? Why is it important that we get to be reminded that Jesus is coming? Advent is about Jesus coming into a place. But let me tell you, to be told that Jesus is appearing into your household, to be told that Jesus is appearing into your space, to be told that Jesus is appearing into your situation, He's coming into your circumstance, He's coming into your challenges, He's joining you in your season, whatever season you are in. That is essential. But let me just try to explain to you, why is it essential? You might not still get it. Why is it important that I know that in the situation that I am in, Jesus is coming? So there are some blessings that comes with the advent of Jesus into your situation. There are some blessings that we need to consider that the advent of Jesus brings into your life. The first blessing that Jesus, the advent of King Jesus brings is Jesus the King comes to dispel darkness. Jesus the King comes to dispel darkness. In verse 2, we hear that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This discloses our help for dealing with any form of darkness we face in this world. I don't know how many of you love darkness, but I'm afraid of darkness. These days, I'm not very much like, I don't like going shopping around 5 because it's already dark. I don't like being outside going around 4 o'clock saying I'm going to the shops because it's already getting dark. Over and over in Scripture, darkness is equated with sin, evil, and our godless world system. If we read together Ephesians 6 verse 12, it tells us about darkness. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Okay. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's describing the darkness that we fight. And in John 3, verse 19, the Bible says, this is the judgment. I'm not sure whether I'll be using the same version. Okay. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And finally, in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Physically walking in darkness, like I've just said, is dangerous. But spiritual darkness is deadly. You are done if you are living in spiritual darkness. So having an understanding that Jesus, the King, is coming exposes our help. It reveals that we are not on our own. It reminds us that we have got help to deal with all these challenges in Jesus Christ. Through him, we can dispel darkness. Through Jesus, we can overcome sin. Through Jesus, we can live in a fallen and corrupt world and not be corrupted by it. Through Jesus, we can endure hardship, knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can put our hope in Jesus, the King, knowing that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can walk in the valley of the shadow of death with no fear, knowing that Jesus, the King, is appearing in that valley and is our ever-present help. He is with us. Emmanuel, the Lord with us. That's what Isaiah was telling his audience, saying that, take heart, brothers and sisters, the King is coming. He will handle all these issues. How awesome that Jesus, the King, is the light that darkness cannot overcome. The true light that gives eternal life to whosoever that believes in him, so they have eternal life. How wonderful that is. So tell your neighbor. Neighbor. I mean, you are preaching to them. Don't put them to sleep. I've worked so hard to keep them awake this far. So don't put them to sleep. Okay, so let's do it again. Neighbor. Jesus the King is coming. So you have a reason to celebrate. Our ever-present help is on the way. He is coming. Amen. Thank you. That leads us to the next blessing that Advent of the King Jesus brings to us. Jesus, the King, comes to guide us and direct our lives. Jesus, the King, comes to guide and direct our lives. Wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful. Verse 6D, we skip verse 3, 4, 5, and we go to verse 6D. Part D of verse 6, it says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. This same ever-present help that is who is on the way that we've just declared to each other is our wonderful counselor. This, you know, wonderful, this literally means the wonder of a counselor. The wonder, when you say wonderful counselor, it means the wonder of a counselor. The word wonderful refers to someone or something marvelous, extraordinary, beyond the normal capacity to perform. We have a savior who brings light into our lives to lead us, his wisdom into our lives to direct us, and his counsel into our lives to teach us. We have a wonderful counselor. You know, there's something about the emergency numbers responders. You know, when you dial 999, I know there are medical people here. You know, this is my vision of what happens, okay? So when you dial 999, the responders of that number, whether you are wanting them to connect you to the fire people or to the police, or you want ambulance, whatever you are calling for, those people, they've got a way of keeping you, the one seeking help, calm and online. You don't hang up on them. Doesn't matter what, even if your house is burning, they'll keep you online. They are trained in such a way that they keep you online, calm, using only 5 words. Help is on the way. They don't say you're not going to burn. No. They don't say your boiler might blow up right now. No. They simply say help is on the way. Help. And they want you to respond. Thank you. They are expected to keep you on the line responding actively. So they keep repeating the same 5 words. Help is on the way. Why are they trained to do that? Because if you know help is on the way, you're not going to panic and run into the smoke. You're not going to panic and throw yourself through the window as if you're going to survive, you know, falling 3 stories down. You're not going to do that. So they make sure that wherever you are standing as you're calling them, you remain there. You remain there. Times of decision making will come to all of us. Times of confusion will happen to all of us. Times where we come to a fork in the road will happen and appear to all of us. But if you know help is on the way, it will calm your spirit and it will settle your soul. If you know help is on the way, it doesn't matter what you are facing. If you know there is a hope in what you are facing, that somehow, some way, you're going to come out of it, you remain calm. That will calm your spirit. And it will settle your soul. So take heart, my friends. We have a wonderful counselor. Jesus, the King, is coming to guide us and direct us. I want to encourage you this morning that help is on the way. Because Jesus is coming into your situation. Jesus is coming into your circumstances. So tell your neighbor once again. Neighbor. Jesus, the King. Your help. Is coming. He is on the way. Hang on in there. Look up to him. Amen. You're doing so well. Hey, you're doing so well. Let's move on to the last blessing for today. The blessing that the advent of Jesus brings to us. Jesus, the King, is coming to stimulate our help. Our hope, sorry. Jesus, the King's coming stimulates our hope. Jesus, the King's coming, stimulates our hope. Mighty God. He is the mighty God. In chapter 9, verse 6e, which is still part of verse 6, it says, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. So we want to focus on the part of Mighty God. This coming King is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. A mighty warrior. Is there anybody who is feeling like you're in a battle? You're feeling like you're always fighting. Sometimes you can't understand the fights. Sometimes you can't describe who you're fighting. Sometimes you can't identify where the arrows are coming from. Sometimes the attacks are even full frontal assault, but some of them are very sneak attacks. They caught you unaware. However, we may be constantly finding ourselves wrestling against Satan and his forces. We know one thing. We serve a mighty warrior. It can cause us to grow weary, but knowing that Jesus, the King, is coming helps us to see things differently. If I know that Jesus fights my battles, and I know this battle is beyond me, I don't need to try look for a strategy of how to do that fight. I just need to stand still and let him do the job for me. I just need to call upon him and surrender everything before him because he is the mighty God. You won't give in to darkness and of the day, no matter how bad it is, no matter how long it might have been. You carry a different perspective because you know hope is coming. You know, when my dad passed away when we were young, my mom had brothers that were all over in town. So sometimes they would say to her, at the end of every month, come to town, get grocery for the kids, and then you go. So sometimes mom would say, I'm only going for a week, so I've got you stuff that is enough for the week, you'll be fine. And then things do happen, don't they, when you visit? And so she will not come. She will not come the day that she would have said, I'm coming. And you know, as kids, if you know mom is coming with some stuff, you try to overeat and finish everything. Because you know some things are coming. You don't want to be told, can you finish this when there's something that is fresh that has just come? So you want to finish and deal away with so that when she comes, there's nothing. Give us what you brought. So sometimes she will not come on the day that she would have said, I'm coming. And sometimes she will send a letter with a bus and say, you know, tell my kids, please drop in this school and let them know that I'm coming. You know, I'll be coming after 2 days. So sometimes she wouldn't say anything. But do you know what? That fact of knowing that mom says she's coming tomorrow, even though she doesn't come, made the difference. Our perspective, even though we had finished the food, we will go through those 2 other days rejoicing because, you know, good things are coming. It doesn't matter. You know, we are okay. We are fine. We won't complain because we know something better is coming. Something is on the way. And we knew that our mom will bring something. So I want to encourage you. Take heart. That tiny baby that was born in Bethlehem is our mighty God who has come in the flesh just to rescue you, just to redeem you. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He also came to preach the good news. He came to teach the truth of the kingdom of God. He came to heal those who were sick and those who are sick. Those who are lame and broken. He came to die on the cross, to defeat death and hell. And he resurrected and be resurrected victoriously. We're just saying you have no rival. We're saying it. You have no equal. It's not just the words, it is the truth. Jesus is no rival. He was resurrected victoriously so that you and me can live a victorious life. As our mighty, all-powerful God, he came to defend us against the vicious, relentless attacks of Satan. So keep your hope alive in him. The big question is, where is your hope? In whom is your hope? And guess what? Because he has already overcome, he has already won every battle that you might face, it means you win. You don't need to be a skilled fighter. You win as long as you keep your hope in him. So tell your neighbor, Jesus the King has won your battles. He has overcome. Things are going to get better. So keep your hope alive. Cheer up and celebrate. Jesus the King this season. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to celebrate because we know whom we have believed. We need to celebrate because we know who is our Savior. Isaiah told us that Jesus is coming. We know that Jesus has come. We know that he's coming into our space. He's coming into our situations. We know that he promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that he says, I will never sleep nor slumber as long as you live. He's always watching over you. You're going out, you're coming in. You're rising up, you're lying down. He's always watching over you. So now is the opportunity for us to come to him and surrender. When we are reminded that he is around us, when you are reminded that he is coming into our space, when I'm expecting guests in my house and I've cleaned the house and I see the kids trying to act like, you know, it's business as usual, I remind them, I've got guests coming. So make sure you put your shoes where they belong. Make sure you put your toys where they belong. I'm not going to clean again. I have to remind them. And they will remain conscious that, okay, we are expecting a guest. So we have to be at our best behavior. We have to make sure that the house is clean. It is our opportunity this moment where we are reminded that the King is in our lives. The King is in our households. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, moreover, now that we know that Jesus, the King, is coming, we ought to tell others that to take heart as well. How do you tell your friends that Jesus is coming? How do you tell them? What are you saying to them about the Advent? When they talk about gifts, what do you say? When they talk about what they're going to do during Christmas, what do you say? When they talk about the gifts that they're giving, what do you say? The gift that we can give anyone this Christmas is the gift of life. The gift of knowing Jesus Christ. The gift of being reminded that this life you have belongs to Jesus. The gift of being reminded that there is a purpose for your life. God is not yet finished with you. There is business that God wants to do in you, through you. We ought to tell others that to take heart because the Prince of Peace is coming. There are a lot of questions that we are caught up. You know, you get into a place where people are talking about Palestine and Israel. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. People are looking for peace. But there's only one who brings peace. The Prince of Peace. There's the only one who will bring peace. And he is coming into our space. Our everlasting Father who will never leave us nor forsake us. He's coming to light up our hearts. He's coming to direct our lives. He's coming to defend us from the schemes of the enemy. Hope is coming. Let's talk about it. Let's share about him. Let's go and tell the world that we need to tell them that help is on the way. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter where you are. There is a God who cares. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who has the solution to your problem. There's a God who has an answer to your questions. Tell them what real Advent is all about. Jesus coming into your place. A driving desire on God's part to dwell among us. That's what brought Jesus on earth, to dwell among us. Jesus, the King, is coming and has come. It's our season to adore him. It's the moment we adore him. Let's pray.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.